don't know how much action they're taking.
Well, Dr. Cooperman, I want to thank you so much for being my guest. Again, that website is consumerlab.com. I want to thank you for sharing all of this information, for doing this important work. I want to thank our listeners for joining us and remind everyone that Food Sleuth Radio is produced by Dan Hemmelgarn at KOPN Studios in beautiful downtown Columbia, Missouri. Thank you again, Dr. Cooperman, and I want to recommend this website. I'll provide it for our listeners, consumerlab.com. Thanks.
Thanks, Melinda.
And thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening to KBOO. And thanks for your support during our recent membership drive. Coming up next is Voices for the Animals.
You are listening to KBOO, 90.7 FM in Portland.
The more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying our habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland. My name is Courtney Scott, and I will be your host today. We are delighted to welcome two members of the Animal Ministry of the Unitarian Church of Portland, Janice Clark and Keith Iding. Welcome, Janice and Keith. I first learned of the Animal Ministry when I got an invitation from the ministry to screen my film From Suffering to Satori at the church, and I really appreciated that opportunity to share the film. Tell us about the Animal Ministry of the Unitarian Church. Who started it? When did it start? And what is its mission?
It started in the fall of 2012, and it was three couples that came together who knew that they all ate a plant-based diet, and they decided they wanted to have an animal ministry at the church. And so they knew of other people. A course in ethical eating had been given, so there were a list of people that were rather interested in this issue. And so they emailed all them, too, and that's where I came in. And they went to private homes and made out a mission statement and a list of activities that they wanted to do. And then they started having, like I said, vegan potlucks in these private homes. And And they planned first to have a showing of a film, The Peaceable Kingdom, The Journey Home, and then be a presence at Earth Day of 2013. And that's how we really got started.
That's great. So what is the mission of the Animal Ministry?
The mission is working to eliminate animal oppression and exploitation for the benefit of animals, people, and the environment. And we promote understanding and awareness of animals as fellow sentient beings and support ministry, education, and community to others who do not want to exploit animals. And we have a wonderful vision statement, I think. It's, we hope for a world embodying multi-speciesism justice based on compassion, empathy, and a deep respect for the inherent worth and dignity of all beings.
Well, that's a really great mission statement. So what are some of the issues you focus on?
Do you want to go into that?
Well, I wanted to add to that that there's
sure,
a national
go ahead,
group.
Keith.
And my name's Keith.
Right.
And we came out of the origins of the national group that had been around a little bit longer. Their name is the Unitarians for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, UFETA. And they actually were around since 1986. They started in around New York on the East Coast. And they got together people with similar issues and visions of how we treat animals. And they reached out to the other congregations a little bit at a time. But we came in at a point where they had decided to change their name from the Unitarians for the Ethical Treatment of Animals to the Animal Ministry because they had some specific goals in mind. And in their effort to publicize their new goals, I think we people at our church caught notice of that name, Animal Ministry, and how it was something fresh that they hadn't heard of. It attracted several people from our church, though, that thought that would be a wonderful group to get involved with. And so I'm just saying there's a national perspective as well. But we kind of go our own way at our church. Everyone has different interests and contributions, and so one way we work is with the national group, but we also go in unique directions in our own church.
Yeah. Well, that's really great to hear that it's a national organization. Mm-hmm. So then what are some of the animal issues that you focus on with your ministry?
Well, I think there's two main ones that we focus on. We focus on the treatment of animals on factory farms. You know, we know there's 10 billion animals that are killed each year in the United States alone, and that doesn't count marine animals. So, and most of them have lived torturous lives. And so we are trying to get any help we can for those animals. And then the other thing that we do is we're considering the damage that animal agriculture has on the environment. It's devastating to our environment, and people don't realize it, but it's been going on for 10,000 years, and it's takes away land and resources that are used for animals that people consume rather than for the environment. And so there's not very much room left for the rest of the animals anymore because there's so much room taken and resources taken up for the animals that people consume.
Yeah, like for instance, I wonder if many people realize, like Dab did a show, I believe it was about the wild horses, and and is planning a show about the wolves, the predators, because a lot of them are being killed to protect livestock. So I don't think many people realize that by consuming animal products, they're also destroying some of the what they call the apex species, you know, the ones that are the alpha species and are really in danger because of our lifestyle and diet choices.
Right.
So it's all the animals, like you mentioned, that are really suffering because of animal agriculture.
Correct.
Like palm oil, for instance, is destroying elephants and orangutans.
Right.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's really interesting. So tell us why you each personally got involved in the ministry. What challenges did you face changing to a plant-based diet, and how has it benefited you by doing that?
I guess I can go first on that one. I took this course. I had been diagnosed with diabetes 2, and so I had changed my diet dramatically because I was determined to beat this, which I have. I've reversed it, and they've taken it off my charts. But at that time, this course in ethical eating was offered at the church, and I thought, well, I've made all these other changes. Why don't I take this course on ethical eating, having no idea what I was getting myself into? And by the time I ended the course, I thought, wow, I have to make a lot more changes. And so I got involved with this group because of that. And it's been wonderful. It's, first of all, it took me about a year and a half to make all the changes because I had to find the foods I wanted to eat. I need to learn more about how to eat a vegan diet or a plant-based diet. And so I didn't do it overnight, but I knew that was my goal. And after 4 months after I had given up dairy, I noticed that the arthritis that I had really bad in my hands was gone. It hasn't come back either. You know, if I put down some of my fingers, I'd have to literally lift them up because it was so bad and it was so painful. And so that was gone. And of course, my A1Cs have remained wonderful. My weight has been really easy to maintain. And my cholesterol went down and my blood pressure went down. So it's really been helpful. And besides, I feel great because I know that I'm not eating something that harms someone else.
Excellent. And how about you, Keith?
Well, I wanted to say that Janice is a real inspiration to me
in what she's been through, her experience, and her dedication to her principles. And I heard about the animal ministry through her because she's a member of another organization called Northwest Veg here that she and I both rubbed elbows with. I had been at the Unitarian Church in the past, but I kind of wandered away from it because we didn't seem to have that focus on the animals and their relationship to everything. And I was really looking for people that cared about that. My own roots in why I choose to be plant-based is that when I was a kid, about 9 or 10, my grandmother took me to a butcher shop. She was raised on a farm, and she thought all that was a normal everyday occurrence of how we treat animals, but she wanted me to kind of learn the facts of life, and so this butcher took me in the back of their little building and into a small room and brought in two beautiful chickens and proceeded to kill them right in front of me. And I just couldn't see the point of that was just for my grandmother to bring home for our food. I think it had the opposite effect of what she thought it would on me. And so I carried that knowledge for the rest of my life, thinking that it didn't make sense to me that we were killing, especially when I learned later that we really didn't need to eat animals, that I started to see in social media of that time back, this is quite a ways back, but that people were vegetarians, and I couldn't imagine that would work, but it worked fine. And then I learned more and more as I went on. But I've raised my son, who's just turned 21, as a vegan, and that worked out beautifully. He's a very healthy young man. And our family has been plant-based, and so I don't shy away from that word or the concept at all. I think it really makes a lot of sense. I really relate to animals. That's my own motivation for being involved in this group. But I know that it's been a difficult sometimes a difficult persuasion to make in the greater society, and I know we'll probably talk about that too.
Yeah, that's actually a good segue, because I was going to ask you next, how do you outreach to the community inside the church, first of all? Let me know about that. And then outside, what are some of the challenges? What, you know, some of the benefits, I guess, of reaching out to the community?
Well, we have an information table at the church services after every Sunday after both services. And we find is really helpful in getting the word out, you know, because now people know we're there and they come and ask questions and things. And then that we have speakers and films, including yours, of course, Courtney. But we showed The Peaceable Kingdom, The Journey Home. We've showed Speciesism, which a young man just saw animals being heard about animals being treated badly on fur farms, and then he started investigating, and he kept investigating, and he just realized that this was not a good thing, the way we treat animals. And then we show Cowspiracy, which is mostly about the environment, the damage that the animal agriculture is doing to our environment, and then of course your film. So.
Do a self-promotion here. That's called From Suffering to Satori.
Yes.
From Suffering to Satori movie.com. Okay, right. Go ahead, Janice. Thank you.
That's for that. We also supported the Howard Lyman talk. If you could probably talk about that, Keith, about him, Howard Lyman.
Sure. We've had a series of ongoing events, so we try to stay in the view of the church and the greater community around us. And we work with that group, Northwest Veg, and then we've got our own inside information system, our weekly newsletter, and we're on Facebook, and we have a web page with our church. But Howard Lyman was an opportunity to kind of share the information with Northwest Veg that he was trying to motivate people to Anyone who's heard Howard Lyman remembers he's a wonderful speaker, and we happen to know him through Northwest Veg, and amazingly, he's a Unitarian. So we asked him if he would be interested in coming to our church to speak, and he said that would be great. So back just this last January, he came to Portland, and we had a full house turnout to hear him, and I think it was quite successful. But on the other side of that, though, we had very few people from our church who attended his talk. Mm-hmm. So
that's kind of an ongoing challenge then, to engage your fellow church members, correct?
Yes,
it okay. is. Yeah. We also go to animal sanctuaries once or twice a year, and these are wonderful because they get families involved and children they get to touch the animals and things, and they eat vegan food when they're out there.
Yeah.
And they just have a lot of fun. I don't go because I'm handicapped mobily. And then we also had a six-session book discussion on the World Peace Diet that Will Tuttle's book. And that is a fantastic book for our issues. And we table at Veg Fest each year. And we also tabled at the Unitarian Universalist National Convention, and that got the word out to the people nationwide that
Great.
Were Unitarians. And we have a vegan holiday all-church potluck, plant-based potluck each year. And Keith and I are represented on the Social Justice Council at the church. And some members even attended a Blessing of the Animals service at the Salem Unitarian Church. And just lately, we've been collecting signatures for endangered animals' organ. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were at our church just yesterday and gave a talk. And we didn't have as big a crowd as we hoped, but we did. We were able to get, that's another way we were able to get the message
Great.
Out.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break right now and come back. So stay tuned to Voices for the Animals. Welcome back to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland. We are in studio with Keith Iding and Janice Clark of the Animal Ministry of the Unitarian Church. Keith and Janice, how receptive are community members to your message? I know we touched on this before the break, but let's just go into that a little bit more. What are some of the challenges you face in reaching out to your own church members?
We were the new people on the block, so to speak, and so it's been kind of slow. But we found that just having a presence all the time or every week makes a difference, because people are getting familiar with us and are getting comfortable coming over and talking to us. And we have a lot of resources to hand out. Everything we hand out is free, and so people take literature from us. Some people are interested in the animal abuses, some people on how to change their diet, other people are interested in the environment. So they take what they want to take from the table, and we welcome that. And people come from all over the country come to that church, and so they take our information too and bring it to other places. So it's really great, you know. So we really feel that's reaching out. And then I even have a binder with recipes that we have tried, and we have extra copies, because people will come up and say, I have a friend that's coming to dinner and they're vegan or they are vegetarian, and we don't know what to fix them. So I have recipes I can hand out to them. So that works out very good. So
great. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Keith. What were you going to add to that?
I just wanted to add that that's our
Our biggest central question is reaching out to the community, how to get their attention. You know, we're not just off in the corner, those animal people. We really want to carry this message to the bigger community. Mm-hmm. And I think the most wonderful accomplishment that our group has is that we have a seat at the social justice table at our church. We're one of the groups that they recognize. And so one of the wonderful outcomes of that is whenever they have food, they make it vegan food. They make it meat-free food and as much as they can to, you know, be aware of that for us. So in just in that recognition, we're helping to show a different side to things. I think the real issue in reaching out to people is that it's really a cultural situation of habit and tradition, and we're trying to show people that there might be some other aspects to that, and they have trouble breaking out of their routines, you know. So I just think that having the presence, like Janice says, and just being there consistently exposes people a little bit at a time in a gentle way that they can recognize that maybe there is something there. And once people start to look, I think that's the turning point, that there's no going back.
Great. So then what progress do you see regarding animal rights in the church, but also in the world today?
I think there is some real progress. The church has decided that the church-sponsored functions will be plant-based meals, and there's a few exceptions to that, but pretty much they do that now. We even have a church member who runs a little vegan cart and he has brought food to our functions, and he's such a good cook, it's unbelievable. And then we find that there are more and more vegan options in the stores. I mean, you can find substitutes for meat, for cheese, for ice cream, and eggs, and that are all really good. And there's many restaurants now that have vegan or vegetarian options. And Northwest Veg puts out a little flyer keeps that up to date, and so and we have that at our table, and that's one of the flyers that flies off of our table. So I think some of the worst abuses of animals are being addressed, such as they're giving them bigger cages for chickens and pigs, etc. They're not adequate, but they're an improvement. And there are a lot of online petitions addressing animal issues. I'm signing them all the time. and a number of famous people have come out and said, you know, that John Stewart and his wife has opened an animal sanctuary. Bill Clinton eats a vegan diet. I don't think perfectly, but he does basically. And even Prince was noted to eat a vegan diet. So it's more and more people are coming out and mentioning it. It's not such a far-out thing anymore. And the United Nations has recommended a plant-based diet to feed more people. And the new dietary guidelines represent the United States dietary guidelines recommend more grains, fruits, and vegetables than they have in the past. And New Zealand officially recognized all animals as sentient beings. I think that is fantastic. And Denmark is calling for a tax on meat to fight the ethical problem of climate change. I mean, these are amazing things that are happening. So there's a lot happening.
Great.
Yeah.
So what do you think is impeding more progress, and what do you recommend for our listeners to do to inspire more progress?
I think that the most important contributor to changing our culture is that our leadership needs to get involved in helping with bringing that message. And at the same time, the leaders who have the most influence are really cautious because they don't want to lose the support they have by taking a potentially unpopular position. So they're very conservative about moving in a new direction like that. But we need to involve our leaders, and I think that's the aspect that's going to make the most difference. Bill Clinton, I don't know how much we listen to him now, but if he'd been a vegan when he was a president, it might have really turned a lot of heads. I think that the important thing isn't so much about being vegan. It's just to really get the issues out there and see that there is something. Our biggest problem typically is we're supposed to be part of my other group that I connect with at the church is called the Seventh Principle. It's called Community for Earth, but they reflect this, our principles, and the seventh principle is respect for Earth and its life. And we thought that would be a sure pairing, that we would have a connection with them, because we're an advocate for all the other life forms on the planet besides humans. But it's difficult to get that message through because if you dangle that word vegan around, then they think you're an extremist or something. So it's really not about that. It's about the facts. It's about the issues and how much impact there really is on the environment and on us and on how we behave with each other even. I mean, that's how we treat other species, is how we will eventually bring that in, and we already did, into our relations with one another.
Very good point. So are there other animal ministries around the country? You mentioned that the Universal... I have a hard time with the Unitarian Universalists. It's a tough one there. But you mentioned there is a national organization within that church. Are there others that you're affiliated with? For instance, the Christian Vegetarian Association or the Jewish Vegetarian Association?
We're not associated with them. I have looked them up online. The Christian one has a wonderful website. Boy, it really covers everything. And I've checked the Jewish one a number of times, but we haven't gotten involved with them, but that's something we need to consider doing. The Seventh-day Adventists also promote a plant-based diet. And some of their people eat it, but some people don't. So that's, you know, something that So there are other groups that are doing things, yes.
Yeah, because I know, for instance, with the Jewish Vegetarian Association, they have a film called Sacred Duty, which I would recommend to anyone to check out, because it really covers the issue of animal agriculture, which is something you're focused on.
Right.
So great. So what events and outreach do you guys have planned next?
One event that we're going to have coming up soon is we have one of those sanctuary visits. If you could get in touch with us, we'd be glad to include you if you'd like to come out and meet some of these animals and learn about their personalities. You know, what are cows and pigs and chickens really like if you've never had a chance to interact with them?
Which sanctuary is that, Keith?
Well, this year we're going to be going to Wildwood Farm Sanctuary.
Okay.
Out on the other side of Tigard towards Newburgh. There's several in the area. We had been going out to pasture on a pretty regular basis. I've spent a lot of time down at Lighthouse Farm Sanctuary, and let's see, there's several, and they seem to be growing, and it's a wonderful resource to take part in, to visit those places, and we really enjoy working together. It's not hard work. It's just pleasurable work that we're helping those creatures to have a good place to live. The next big thing for us is we have a special visit scheduled for the 21st of July, and Gene Bauer, who runs Farm Sanctuary, is coming here along with a British author, Alex Lockwood, who just released a new book that is getting a lot of commentary, and they're going to be speaking at the church on July 21st at about 7 in the evening. Just stay tuned to our calendar page. And Alex's book is about our relationship to farm animals. It's called The Pig in Thin Air. And I'm sure that will be an interesting evening to have both of their perspectives. So that's another speaking engagement. Then in the fall, we're going to be at Portland Veg Fest. We have something called a Wheel of Chance that, I mean, everyone's seen that sort of thing. But we get people to make commitments by using this wheel we put together out of a bike wheel. And then that's really enjoyable, attracts a lot of attention and involvement. And also, I'd like to really say proudly that we're the only church that's involved with VegFest at this point. But it shouldn't be like that. But we really feel like there's an important connection to make between people's religious affiliations and the issues. And that's an important event to us, and a way to extend our outreach.
Great. Thank you so much. So I assume what you said, people can get involved with your ministry through your Facebook page and by coming to the church to your tabling event.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so they can find out about all these events on those platforms or mm-hmm. that church. Great. Well, we're just about to wrap it up now.
Mm-hmm. Should we give an address?
Go ahead. What is the address for the church?
Well, you can get in touch with one of our people by writing to vegantinkerer@gmail.com. Is that right, Janice?
Vegan.tinkerer@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then we have a Facebook page that just look up UU Animal Ministry PDX, and you'll find our church's Facebook
PDX.
Page.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And okay, so thanks, Janice and Keith, for enlightening our listeners about your ministry. And thanks to all of you for tuning in today to another episode of Voices for the Animals. This program airs the fourth Monday of every month at 11:30 a.m. You can listen to this program online at KBOO-FM.
And now the KBOO News at noon for Monday, May 23rd, 2016. In local news, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality has released the first results from air testing conducted near the Southeast Portland Precision Cast Parts Company metal alloy plant. The results found significantly high levels of nickel and arsenic and above recommended levels of hexavalent chromium. Arsenic levels were 4 times over health-based recommended levels, and nickel was found to be 2 times higher than recommended. Spokespersons for Precision Cast Parts has denied the arsenic is from their plant, stating their company does not use arsenic in their metal alloys. The company notified the Oregon DEQ that they have installed 4 new air filters to supplement the 2 air filters the plant used previously. 1 new baghouse-type filter was also installed, bringing the total to 33 baghouse filters at the Portland plant site. The Oregon DEQ, in conjunction with the Oregon Health Authority, installed several air monitoring stations near the Precision Cast Parts plant earlier this year. Data from 2 other air monitoring stations near the plant will be collected and the information released to the public in mid-June.